This morning we find in this passage a warning from the Lord for us, for New Testament Christians, about what we would face in what God calls the latter times. And of course, it's been 2,000 years since Calvary, and we are in the latter times. We know that because we can look at the scriptures and we can see that these things have come to pass and that it's close, that any day the trumpet could blow and Jesus could come back to take us to glory. Amen. And if that happens, see you later. Amen. Goodbye to the world, and we'll be with the Lord. But until that happens, God expects us as believers in Jesus Christ to be prepared for what we're going to face in this world. And he gives those warnings to us here and tells us to prepare ourselves and be able to handle these things that are going to come. And so here at the beginning of the chapter, he tells us, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So the title of the message is The Latter Times, and we will study that together this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom. I pray for your power as we go to your word, that the Holy Spirit would take it and speak to us and apply it to each of our hearts and grow us through it. Lord, I pray if there's someone in our service not born again, that they will understand they must be born again if they want to see heaven. And we don't know when that day's coming, but may they be prepared. I pray, Lord, that those of us that are believers would understand the importance of being grounded in your word, that we might face these challenges that we see around us. And I pray, Lord, that it would be all about your word and about you. May we glorify you in this service. May you meet us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what we find in this passage are what's going to happen here in these latter times. And I've called it some denials, and it makes it easier for us if we break it up into groups. And so we see the first denial there in verse 1 is the denial of the faith. Notice it says, some shall depart from the faith. Now that word, that phrase, the faith, is referring to salvation. That is our faith. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we become part of the faith. Christianity. And the Bible says people would depart from the faith. They would come to the point where they no longer teach that you must be born again to go to heaven. They no longer teach that Jesus is the only way, but they'll teach other alternatives to getting to heaven. Sound familiar? There are people this morning all around Rotorua, all around New Zealand, and all around the world sitting in church. I put quotation marks around it. And they're being told a load of rubbish. They're not being told what's in this book. They're being told whatever man's opinions are. And they're definitely not being told that Jesus is the only way. And yet, he is. Because our Creator tells us so. And so people would get to the point where they would depart from the faith. Now, if you go to Matthew 24, Jesus warned us of this as well. Matthew 24 is the chapter where Jesus Christ answered the disciples' question, "Lord, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus took these two chapters, 24 and 25, and told us what was coming in the end. And notice he says in Matthew 24, verse 5, just at the beginning of the chapter, he says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." In other words, there would be false Christs. That word Christ meaning Messiah. There would be false messiahs. Well, we've had plenty of those in the past 2,000 years, and there's going to be plenty more. People that come along and saying, God sent me, and I'm here to give you something new. Well, let me tell you, this is what you're going to get when it comes to your Creator. There's not something new. And if there is something new, don't listen. Because if it doesn't line up with this book, it's not from God. But we've seen that happen over and over again, especially in the past 200 years. Which is, again, just more evidence that we are in the latter times. We have all these people coming along saying, I'm going to give you something new. I want to give you something. God gave it to me. Which, hence the false Christ or the false Messiah. God didn't give it to them. Another God did, with a little g, and it wasn't the God of heaven. But the Bible said some would depart from the faith. Go to 2 Peter, if you would, and verse 3, where the Bible says that part of that denial of the faith would be a denial of the Lord Jesus Christ's return. And the two are interconnected, are they not? I mean, we walk by faith as Christians. The Bible says we're to walk by faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. No one in this room has seen God, but you believe He exists. You can look at His creation. You can read His Word. You know the Holy Spirit's changed you. You know He's real, but you don't see Him because we're told to walk by faith. Well, connected with our faith is the belief that Jesus Christ told us He's going to come back. Amen? He told us so. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, there in John 14. I'm going to come back. I'm going to get you and take you back to glory. Well, part of the denial of the faith is the denial of the return of Jesus Christ. It's been 2,000 years and people have become scoffers. Notice here in 2 Peter verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. People scoffing at the return of Jesus, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Saying it's been 2,000 years. Where's Jesus? Why hasn't He come yet? And so part of the denial of the faith and departure from the faith is the departure from this truth of Scripture, which, by the way, is in the New Testament over 200 times, that Jesus is coming back. And are we ready? Are we part of the faith? Are we born again? Have we taken Jesus Christ as our Savior so that when He does come back, we're prepared? Because let me tell you, if you're not ready, if you haven't been saved, you don't want to be here for what comes next. And we don't have time to go into it, but it will be a terrible time on earth when the Christians are removed. But the Bible says, first of all, that the first denial that we would see in the latter times, and we see it all around us, is a denial of the faith. Salvation in Jesus Christ and the return of Jesus Christ. Secondly, go back to our passage, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. It says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So the second denial, I'm going to call it, is just the denial of doctrine or sound doctrine. So not only will we have people saying, no, you don't need to trust Jesus. There's other faiths. There's other way to heaven. Matter of fact, there is a preacher, very well known, I'm not going to name him, but everybody's heard of him. And he started off pretty right, built one of the biggest churches ever. He recently came up with a new religion. He calls it Chrislam. Doesn't that sound have a nice ring to it? And he says, really, we need to quit disagreeing and agree that Christianity and Islam are basically the same thing. Really? I don't find any similarities. But this is what happens. And so it tied in with denying of the faith is this denial of sound doctrine. It says, doctrines of devils. Now the word doctrine is just another word for truth. And the Bible is filled with truths because the Bible is truth. Because it comes from God who is true. And so when we preach the Word of God, we're preaching truth. We're preaching doctrine. And there are basic truths of Christianity that we all agree on. Like things like the deity of Jesus Christ, that He's the only way to heaven, that it's through His blood that we find salvation, that we are secure in our salvation, that the believers go to heaven and non-believers go to hell. Just the basics. We call those doctrines. And the Bible says that there will be a denial of these doctrines. As a matter of fact, there will be a denial of doctrine itself. And so let's go over to 2 Timothy, just the next book over, verse chapter 4, and we'll see sure enough that part of the latter times would be this denial of sound doctrine. Notice 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Look at the next verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We are in that time. And what's happened is in the past 50 years, churches have decided that the way to reach people is just to give them what they want. They're called user-friendly churches. And so they do surveys. Well, we need a coffee bar. Okay, let's give them a coffee bar. Don't ever talk about hell. Okay, we won't talk about hell. Don't ever tell them that they shouldn't sin. Just tell them that Jesus loves them. Okay, that's what we'll do. And they do these surveys and they give people what they want. What makes them feel good? What makes them happy? And it sounds good. And people go and they walk away happy. Because they've heard a lot of happy stuff. And everybody's happy. But none of them know this. Because they don't get this. They don't get sound doctrine. They get a bunch of fluff. And so when the trials come, they're not grounded in their faith. They don't really know the Word of God. They're not ready for those trials. When God tests them, they're not ready. When a cult knocks on their door, they're not ready to answer them. Because of this denial of sound doctrine. The Bible says one chapter earlier, saying, "To the evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." We are in the age of deception. Why? Because people are denying sound doctrine. It's no longer believed that this is true and only true. Now people are being told, "Let me tell you some more. Let me give you some extra stuff that'll make you really happy." So not only are we going to have denial of the faith, but we're going to have this denial of doctrine. And notice it says there in verse 2 of our passage, 1 Timothy 4, speaking lies in hypocrisy. So tying right in with this denial of sound doctrine is this denial of truth. That there is an absolute truth. Really, when you think about it, that is one of the foundations of Christianity, of biblical Christianity. Is this understanding that there is only one absolute truth and we're holding it in our hands. Amen? This is so important for us as Christians to believe and understand this. And did you know in the universities today, and it doesn't pick a country, it doesn't have to be New Zealand or America, pick a country that when they do the surveys of these people going into university, the number one agreed upon truth in university today is that there is no absolute truth. The truth is relative. Sound familiar? You ever read the book of Judges? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes? We're back to that time where people really don't believe that there is an absolute truth. And if there isn't an absolute truth, then where do we go for truth? Well, we go to our own opinions, our own feelings. We take surveys. We find out what the majority believes. And decide, well, that must be truth. And then we're in a heap of trouble, aren't we? Because let me tell you, if you look in scriptures, the majority is usually wrong when it comes to God. Now, if you go to Mark chapter 7, Jesus Christ expressed it another way. But he warned the people of the day, and this was 2,000 years ago, that you can actually negate the truth. Notice it says, Mark 7:13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered and many such like things you do. In other words, negating the effect or the power of the word of God with tradition. And so much that happens in churches today is about tradition rather than about truth. Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that we have the internet, it isn't getting better, it's getting worse. Why? Because people have access to so much more information. But filtering through all that information to find the truth, that becomes difficult. Because people don't have filters. Christians should have the filter of this, amen? But that's Christians who are grounded in this and can handle it. Otherwise, it's just information overload. And where's the truth? Where is it? Pilate asked that question of Jesus. He said, what is truth? And people are still asking it today. And so in the latter times, we not only have a denial of the faith and a denial of sound doctrine, but this denial of absolute truth, that there is no absolute truth, is the basic consensus in the world today. If that's, you see, that goes all the way back to really the existence of God. Now, when I talk to people that claim to be atheists, or what's the word they like to use, agnostics, which is a fancy way of saying, I'd rather just not admit what I am. Anyway, I ask them, I say, you know, it really comes back to the existence of God. If we believe there is a God, if we're willing to take that first step and say, well, there is a creation, so there must be a creator, I'm willing to acknowledge that there's a God, as soon as we're willing to go that far, then we have to ask the next question, and that is, well, does he care about me? And is he interested in me? This God that I now believe exists, does he believe, or does he care what I think, or who I am, or what's going to happen? In other words, does my creator care? Because you look at a lot of the heathen gods, and they're basically just trying to appease their gods because their gods are mean and angry and really don't care. But if he does care, did he care enough to reveal his will to me? That's a pretty simple question. If there's a God and he cares about me, did he at least tell me what he wants? What's right and wrong? Did he give me some rules? Did he give me some guidelines? Did he give me anything? And that, of course, brings us to this, doesn't it? He wrote it down. He didn't leave us in the dark. He wrote it down. He spoke through men, yes, but he did the speaking. The Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God spoke through men and wrote down for us his will. So how blessed are we that the Creator of the universe wrote it down? And now we can't deny that we don't know his will. We know his will. He's written it down. But if we're going to deny that there is absolute truth, then what do we have? We really don't have anything. So let's go back to our passage. The third denial is absolute truth. The fourth denial is, notice verse 2, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience seared with a hot iron. What we see here is the denial of basically morals and holiness. God gave us this amazing gift called a conscience. It's what sets us apart from the animals. An innate knowledge of right and wrong and an innate knowledge of the existence of God. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 1. That the things which are clearly seen. The Bible says we can understand the things which are made. We can see that there was a God. We can know this, and we know it in our hearts. Now, we can choose to sear that knowledge, and we can also choose to sear this basic innate knowledge that, and when we get to a certain age, all of a sudden we understand, yes, there is right, and yes, I feel guilty that I did that. Where does that come from? It's called our conscience. And then we need to act upon that conscience and realize that, well, if there is right and there is wrong, then I'm going to answer to God someday. For the wrong. And what am I going to do about it? And the truth is, you can't do anything about it. God did it. Amen? On Calvary. God paid the price because we can't. Except to go to hell forever and ever. But this denial of morals, this denial of holiness, if you go to 2 Timothy 3, again, we'll see that that's an earmark of this latter time, is that man will no longer believe that there is right and wrong. It's basically humanism. Notice 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the latter days, last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's just a small list of how great we are as human beings. But God said this is what it would be like. That men would just keep getting more and more evil. It's happened once before, by the way. Did you ever hear about Noah's Ark? It's exactly why it happened, because it just kept getting worse and worse to the point that God said, I'm just going to start over. And that's what he did. And he's going to do it again very soon when that trumpet blows. He's going to take all the righteousness away. Everyone that's got the Holy Ghost is going to leave. And everyone that's left behind, there's no Holy Ghost indwelling people anymore. Think what that will be like. It's going to be terrible. That is the restraining force right now. But the Bible says man would get to the point where he would deny that there is a right and wrong, where there is such a thing as holiness, where there is morals, where there is ethics. It's all going to come down to just what people think. And really, if your belief is that there is no right and wrong, that we're just animals and we came from monkeys and when we die, it's all over. Let's be honest. If that's true, then there really isn't right and wrong. Who gets to define right and wrong? If we're just animals. And I'll go a step further. If we are just animals and there is no God and there is no final definition of absolute truth and right and wrong, then really people like Hitler, they were just following natural selection. How can you say what they did was wrong? Based on what? What you think? Nobody cares what you think. You see, right and wrong becomes everybody's opinion. So it all falls apart. And we've seen this denial of morals and holiness. Notice number 5 in our chapter, verse 3. It says, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. This denial of Christian liberty is the 5th denial. What does that mean? Go to Galatians chapter 5. It means that in Jesus Christ, when we were born again, we were rescued from the law. It was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. And we now have the liberty to serve Jesus Christ without the bondage of the law. Notice verse 1, Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This yoke is the yoke of the law. Now, we have to follow the law of Jesus Christ as Christians, praise God, to love one another. And Jesus Christ laid out a lot of commandments for us. But God never told us to become modern-day Pharisees and to impose upon people all of these rules and regulations and deny them the liberty that we have in Christ. And yet we see it all around us. You know why? Because man has pride, and man wants to have a part in getting himself to heaven and in his salvation. And so he comes up with all of these rules and regulations. And if you'll follow this and you'll do this and you'll do this, then the church will help you get to heaven. And this is what a lot of people have to deal with every day of their lives, is that they're trusting their church to get them to heaven, and their church is laying out this long list of things. And it's different with each one. But in the end, it's the same. It's all man trying to earn his way to heaven, which we can't do because we're sinners. But this denial of liberty in Christ is really a denial that salvation is strictly by grace and not by works. Forbidding to marry. We have one particular church that's having a few issues over this. We all know who we're talking about. The Bible never said that priests shouldn't marry. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, they were commanded to be married. The Old Testament priests. So where did that come from? It didn't come from the Bible. And look at what it's led to. Forbidding to marry, huh? That was written 2,000 years ago. Forbidding to eat certain meats. We have no prohibitions of eating certain meats in the New Testament. Now, if you happen to live in a certain culture that still has heathen worship, God wants you to stay away from things strangled and from drinking blood. But he doesn't give any prohibitions about eating certain animals. Matter of fact, just to drive the point home, he says in verse 4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. every creature. That's pretty clear. There is no prohibition on certain meats in the Scriptures. But man wants to have a part in his salvation. And we can't. It's all about God and what He did. So then God gives us the answer. Verse 5, it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What is your best protection against these denials of the end times? This book. The word of God and prayer. Notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 5, and then we'll be finished. Hebrews chapter 5. You know, over in Colossians, the Bible says we're to be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4, it says, be not tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine. God warns us we must know the book. In 2 Timothy 3, the Bible says that the Bible furnishes us, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's the power of this book, to protect us, to give us the discernment that we need, so that when we see these denials, we can say, yep, that's the devil. That's not God. Notice Hebrews 5, verse 13. For everyone, or verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The key is that word discern. God wants you to have discernment through this book, so that when you see these denials, the denials of the faith, the denial of sound doctrine, the denial of truth, the denial of morals and holiness, and the denial of Christian liberty and salvation by grace alone, you're ready. You can discern and say, well, I know the Bible, and the Bible says this, and the world is saying this, so the world's wrong. Discernment. That's the only protection that we have, is the discernment of this book. So we have to know it. We have to get into it. We have to study it. We have to read it. We have to memorize it. That's the solution. So I hope that we'll all set out to do that, because we are in those latter times. On the one hand, it's kind of scary because it's so rampant. But on the other hand, it's kind of exciting because we're on the winning side. Amen? If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus is coming back, and no matter what happens, we're going to heaven. And if He blows a trumpet today, hallelujah. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But let's be ready. Let's be prepared, so when they do knock on our door, we know what to say. Amen?